Right. We may or may not be live right now. Not really quite sure, but I think we're live. It says we're on the air. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Good Sunday morning to you, June 4th, 2023. And it just turned 10:30. Did a podcast earlier this morning. It's always a danger when you get up and you speak extemporaneously and things come out a little differently. And it's a short one. It's a reflection on death. And death is an important thing to think about, especially in a society that denies death, doesn't talk about death, doesn't like death, tries to escape death, pretends that they're not almost at their end. I don't think we have a very healthy way of dealing with death in the United States. We pretend that we I think, and I think it goes long before the time of my own generation, and certainly even the time of my father's generation. Was it Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. Isn't that a great song? I did it my way. And he talks about death. I mean, and it's a powerful song. It's a very powerful song. And in a way, I understand, it's the perfect encapsulation of the human experience. I did it my way. I did what I wanted to do. I did some good things. I did some bad things. I did some horrible things, but I did it my way. In some sense, that is always true for all of us. Because we do it our way. We do make the choices that we make. We make the choices that we make, and we do it our way. We always do it our way. And then some people at some point in their lives say, you know what, I have to do more than live a self-centered life. But it's still their choice. They make a choice to say, you know what, I'm going to live my life for others. And that was their way. That became their way. And a long time ago, many years ago, I did a video, and it's still up on the internet. I think Rumble might have it, or Brideon, I'm not sure anymore. Perhaps even BitChute. But it's called The Judgment Day. And in it, I said, you know, everybody goes to a judgment day. We all go to a judgment day. And the judgment day is not mysterious. We think the judgment day is a mysterious day. That, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. What does God require me? I don't know what God's called me to do. You know, well, how was I supposed to know that? You know, I didn't know this, and I didn't know that, and I didn't know the other thing, and on and on and on and on and on and on. And my response to that is, no, that's not true. My response to that is at the judgment day, you know exactly what you're going to be held accountable for on the judgment day. You already know. You know. In Romans, it talks about, And Jesus talked about this too. I said, you know, there's a saying, you know, don't judge lest you be judged. Well, guess what? Everybody judges and everybody is judged. This idea that we can avoid judgment is silliness. It's utter silliness. It's the lack of an intellect that people say you can't judge or you don't judge or you shouldn't judge. And people say, oh, but Jesus said, well, isn't Jesus judging when he says that? Jesus Christ is the judge. Hello, he is the great judge. He's the great judge. And Jesus Christ was very, if you want to call it, judgmental in his lifetime. Whoa, 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 you Pharisees. Whoa, you hypocrites. How will you escape the judgment of hell? The wrath of hell. Oh, he's judging me. He's judging me. Yeah. Judgment is one of the few unavoidable things in life. They say death and taxes, but also judgment. And being a whole human being requires you to judge not only yourself, but other people around you. You're required to judge. Someday, well, maybe it's maybe or maybe you've already done that, but you find a spouse, you find a mate, you find a man or a wife. You know, Johnny finds Susie. You better make some judgments on Susie. Susie better be making judgments on you and your family, your ancestors, your father and mother. It's called due diligence. You must make judgments on other people. Do you want that person raising your children? Do you want them bearing your children? Are they going to be a good provider for you? Are they going to be a good mother for you, for your kids? These are stern judgments. When you grow up and you have kids, you say, do you want your children to hang out with this adult or that adult? And in many cases, the answer is, oh, heck no. You stay as far away from my children as the earth allows you. You don't go anywhere near my kids. I don't trust you. And you make that judgment. This is required. This is required of human beings to judge other people. It's a requirement. And then, you know, you get into the more, well, you know, Fritz, he drinks too much, or he smokes his cigars too much, or whatever it is. Okay, fine. You know, that those are good judgments too. You got to make judgments on all these things. So it's very difficult for me to say that, you know, people don't understand what they're going to face when they, by the way, I don't smoke cigars. I used to, but I don't anymore. Used to chew Copenhagen, but that was decades ago. When people say, well, how am I going to be judged? Well, you already judge. The fact of the matter is every human being already judges. We already judge. Judgment is unavoidable in life. And you judge yourself and you judge others. So when it says, do not judge lest you be judged, judgment is something that happens in life. To be whole and a human is to require us to judge ourselves and to judge others. So when you say you don't know what's going to happen in the judgment day, well, you're going to be judged, just like you judge yourself and you judge others. Well, that person, he's a bad person. Okay, I'm glad you understand the concept of judgment. And one of the fundamental things that we're judged upon as we show up at the judgment day is, how did you treat other people? Did you live for yourself, or are you living for other people? And one of the most difficult things to go through in life is to get married and to stay married and to raise children in a family where you support and nurture those children. It's a very difficult thing to do. I mean, you can see that in the state of the affairs of marriage in the United States, or perhaps Europe, I don't know. But it's all about me. Oh, it's all about me. Well, I'm not feeling fulfilled and happy, so I'm going to abandon you, abandon the kids, and move on with life. Marriage is hard, and marriage and raising a family, not just being married, but staying married and raising those kids, it prepares you for the judgment day, because you end up living a selfless life. This has nothing to do with whether or not you're a Christian. You can be an atheist, and in regard to your wife and your kids, you live a selfless life, and you sacrifice, and you sacrifice, and you sacrifice, and you do it out of duty, you do it out of devotion, not out of a sense of emotion. Emotions come and go. I mean, that pizza last night was great, but, you know, it's just a piece of pizza. There's a loyalty and a devotion that you give to your spouse and your children. That's a selfless devotion. And so when you show up at the judgment day and the Almighty looks at you, and Jesus Christ said, hey, no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for his friends. I mean, that's real easy right there. And God has so designed the human system and the human nature and the human condition that we know what we're going to be judged for. And God has so designed the human state that he prepares us all for the judgment day by saying, get married and raise kids. Get married and raise a bunch of kids. It's the most sacrificial thing a human being can do in life. And as you go through that process, it changes you. And I've told many young people before, here's what happens. You get married, and that's a big change because, you know, for men, it used to be you grab your keys, you walk out the door. You don't need 45 seconds to think about it. You just go. Well, then you marry that cute little thing, and oh, God, it might be 20 minutes, it might be 30 minutes before you can walk out the door. You have to have a conversation. Do I look good in this? So what shoes should I wear? And you're just going, what did I do? What did I get myself into? So you go through a change there. But that's nothing compared to when you get your kids. That first kid comes along, it's like, oh, my God, my life fundamentally changed. I don't have a life anymore. My life is no longer my own. And that's the truth. That's the right answer. It's designed to be that way. You, the first 3 months, you're not sleeping. You might get 2-3 hours of sleep a night, male or female, the mother or the father. Because little you know, junior there, they go through their cycles. They got to sleep. They got to poop. They got to eat. They get cranky. And you know, you both need sleep, so Dad, you better get in there and give her a chance to rest. And you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is crazy having a kid. Then you get the second kid. That's even crazier. I got good news for you, though. Then you get the third kid, and it's like, eh, barely notice it. Then the fourth kid is like, no, it's even easier. It's easier. It actually gets easier. Because the older kids are older, and they've learned, you've trained them, and they've trained themselves because of the nature of having four kids, that they're responsible for taking care of one another. This is not a hard thing. The kids get older and like, oh, let's take care. We got to take care of our little brother and sister, and they become a help. And so the more kids you have, the easier it gets. You say, well, that's counterintuitive. Well, live through it, walk through it, live that life. Ask people that have a bunch of kids, and they'll tell you that. First one, oh, man, it's tough. Second one, oh, my God. Third one, eh. Fourth one, it's like, didn't even notice it. Oh, yeah, there's work there. But now the kids are older. They're helping you out. They're helping you walk through that stuff. And they learn, too, that life is not about themselves. Though I think it's hardest on the oldest one because, you know, they're used to having mommy and daddy all to themselves. Then all of a sudden the next one comes along and it's like, life does not center around you anymore. And that's hard. It's hard, I think, for the oldest kid. Life does not center around your needs and your wants. And you go through this process as both as a parent and a child, and it changes who you are as a human being. And this is the most natural thing in the world, is to grow up and to get married and raise children. Now, there's bad ways you can do it. You can grow up and you can biologically breed and walk away. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the father being a protector, a provider, and a guide, and a mother nurturing and caring for their children and supporting her husband emotionally, psychologically. Oh, that's the traditional family, Western European family model. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's why it's under assault, because it's the Christian model. Well, I believe families can be any way. No, I don't. I mean, go read the Holy Scriptures. There's Adam and then there's Eve. There's Adam and there's Eve. Adam's first, then Eve's. Eve, your job is to support your husband and be fruitful and multiply. No, don't do addition, do multiplication and fill the earth. Okay, that's the foundational purpose and goal of mankind, is to reproduce and multiply and fill the earth with the image of God. That's the fundamental purpose of mankind, is to reproduce and multiply and fill the earth with the image of God. And sometimes in our religious state, we forget that. We don't realize that. No, that's the fundamental purpose. And God has designed all of creation to express that. I mean, you go look at nature, and well, you got a daddy giraffe and a mommy giraffe, and they make baby giraffes. They say, oh, what about the nematodes? Well, you know, we're not nematodes. We're who we are. We're the image of God. And you have a modern world that does everything it can to destroy the image of God, to wipe out the image of God, to murder the image of God. Now we're doing it through vaccines. And some of these people, they want to introduce that mRNA stuff into the food supply. Mass murder to the tune of billions. That's the world we live in. God said to be fruitful and multiply. And you've got these people out there saying, we're going to jab everybody with a poison that destroys their immune system, destroys their reproductive organs. And if they don't take it, we're going to fill the food supply with poisons. We're going to call it medicine. We're going to call it vaccines. And it's going to do the same thing. It's going to tear down our immunization, our natural immune system, introduce new diseases, destroy the reproductive system, and wipe out vast portions of mankind. It's on purpose. Who does this? The enemy. But the enemy doesn't do it without partners. The enemy has partners. I've mentioned that many times here at bloodandfaith.com. Satan has a synagogue. The devil has his little babies. So the judgment day is simple. It's just, we're created to be prepared for our judgment day. And as you become a father, you become a parent, you have to make judgments. And sometimes they're not easy, because who likes to make judgments? That means I'm responsible for the judgments I make. But you have to. You have to man up and make judgments. And guess what? That also gives you a perspective on the Almighty. If you as a father have to make a judgment, how much more does the Father have to make a judgment on you? How much more does the judge, Jesus Christ, have to make a judgment on you and the world around you? When you're a father and you got four kids and you got a wife and everybody's screaming and moaning and groaning, I want this and I want that, you have to say, hey, here's the bottom line. This is the direction we're going. This is what we're going to do. And you don't want to do that because you're going to make somebody mad. You could probably make your wife mad, make your kids mad. So no, buck stops here. I got to make a decision. This is what we have to do for the benefit of the family. Excuse me, bad cold. And so you make those decisions. Right or wrong, you make those decisions. And then all of a sudden you have a whole lot more respect for the Almighty, who's got to make hard decisions regarding you and regarding the world around you. So the natural world provides us a context for our judgment day if we would just let it happen. So when you show up at your judgment day, there's no surprises. Sorry, there's no surprises. It's not, oh, did God call me to be an NBA basketball player? Well, how tall are you? Well, 5'8". The answer's no. You know? Well, I think I'm supposed to be a mother. Are you a male? Yes. Well, the answer's no. Did God call you to provide for your family if you're a man? Yeah, the answer is yes. Does it matter what you do? It could. It matters more that you do it than whether you're a railroad man or a carpenter or a diplomat. And you go through life and he can change your course. For some of us, there's a requirement to speak up. I have a very high requirement for my life personally to speak up. How do we know that? We figure it out. We figure it out. Not everybody has that requirement to do what I'm doing. Maybe in a small way, others in a larger way. We all have a requirement to speak. How do we overcome the evil one? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving our life even unto death. But others have a greater calling than others. If you're trained and have a gift to talk and to speak and an intellect to engage the ideas of the world, well, you have a greater calling than the next person. Some people don't have the capacity to do that. Oh, that you can't say that. We're all the same. No, we're not all the same. I can't be an NBA basketball player. I don't have the genetics. A lot of people can't do what I do because they don't have the genetics. They don't have the intellectual capacity to do what I do. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just the way it is. It's funny how I started off this morning talking about death, and now I'm talking about the judgment day. I don't know why. It's not what I intended to talk about. If you go look at bloodandfaith.com, you look at this moment for this podcast, I'm talking about Matthew 15 and 16, which I love. Those are two of my favorite chapters in the Holy Scriptures. But I guess the theme today is death and the judgment day. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why. Sometimes I get on here, I get on bloodandfaith.com, I get on Podbean, and I start talking, and it's like, this is what you wanted to do, Fritz, but this is where I'm going to send you. And I think that's another theme for life and death and the judgment day, too. We may have, all right, boy, I had my ideas of what I wanted. I had great ideas for what I wanted in life. Did I get them? I got some of them. I got a wife and kids, a bunch of kids. That was probably number one of my goals in life, is to have get married and have a bunch of kids. Am I living where I thought I'd live? No. Do I have the money I thought I'd have? No. Do I have the friends I thought I'd have? Probably not. Do I have the security I thought I'd have? Absolutely not. So sometimes you're taken down a road that you don't want to go. And my greatest hope and desire is not only to sacrifice my family, but hopefully be some sort of example for my kids and my grandkids. I mentioned in a post the other day on Gab, I said, look, heroism is for the average person. It's not for the movie star. Heroism is for the normal average person that makes hard decisions that maybe nobody knows about, nobody even sees about. Oh, but it'll be seen on the judgment day. And if we're lucky, our ancestors see it. If we're lucky, our children recognize the greatness in our own persons. Heroism is for everybody to make those decisions, to take those risks, to go where you don't want to go, to go where you don't want to go. Can't tell you how many people told me, Fritz, you're nuts, you're crazy, you're insane. What are you doing? You're stupid. This doesn't make a difference. It doesn't have any effect. But you do it anyway. Because you got one eye on the judgment day. And you got those kids and those grandkids that are looking to you for an example. And I think I've always thought about the young men that go to the Middle East in the wars over the last 2 days. And they're always thinking to themselves, well, surely there's somebody at home that's looking out for my country and my family and my people. And then you grow up and you get to be my age or even younger than me, younger than this, and you go, no, there really isn't anybody looking out for you, your family, your country, your people. There aren't. It's all selfishness. Politicians and bureaucrats are utterly selfish. And you're out there, little Johnny, little Joey, out there dying, getting blown up in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there's nobody at home looking out for you. They don't care. That's a wake-up call, big wake-up call for me. And so a lot of what I do is on bloodandfaith.com is dedicated to the young men that trust that the older generation has the interests of their race and their nation at hand. And it puts a lot more weight on those of us of the older generation to step two because of the sacrifices of what the young men are already doing. I think I'll wrap up here. I think you got my point. Judgment and death, man. It's just the central portion of our lives. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com.